Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The 4.0 industrial revolution synchronizes with the previous generations. Indonesian citizens in the Netherlands enthusiastically joined peaceful election declaration. Now the news in detail. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto remarked that the implementation of the 4.0 industrial revolution will not abandon or replace technology of the past to the third industrial revolutions. He affirmed that although the government support the 4.0 industrial revolution, the industry sector from the first to the third generations should keep operating. Both of them should complement each other. According to Minister Erlangga, in his press release received in Jakarta on Sunday as quoted by Antara News Agency, the first generation industry can be found in Indonesia, for example, in agriculture sector. Meanwhile, the second generation industry, such as handmade cigarettes and bath industry using canteen and paint used to apply hot wax, are still operating. The government is committed to improving the sectors to be more productive and innovative. Approximately 18 organizations comprising of political party representative success team, volunteer team, and social organization participate in the socialization and declaration of peaceful election, which was held by the overseas election team in The Hague. Based on the report of chairman of the overseas election team in the Den Haag, Mulyo Wijono, to Antara News Agency on Sunday, the event held by the Indonesian embassy in the Den Haag was enthusiastically welcomed by the Indonesian citizens, as more political representatives, success teams, and volunteering organizations stay in the Netherlands. Indonesian ambassador to the Kingdom of Netherlands, Igusti Agung Wesaka Puja, who participated in the event, positively responded to the event and hoped the Democratic Party in Indonesia, which has been established since 1998, will improve to achieve the national unity and integrity. The voting in the Netherlands will take place on Saturday, April 13th. In a national celebration of China's Lunar New Year on Sunday, organized by the West Kalimantan Chinese Association in Jakarta, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi said that Indonesia is one and West Kalimantan is part of Indonesia. Therefore, West Kalimantan must be developed. The Indonesian government, in collaboration with the private sector, will build the first airport in Singkawang, West Kalimantan.
Saya beberapa tahun yang lalu membangun Bandara Pontianak.
I built Pontianak Airport a few years ago, and now it has been completed. It can be used. I was asked by our president to build other airports there. I will go to West Kalimantan, going to Singkawang and conduct a groundbreaking of Singkawang Airport. This is the best airport to be jointly built by private companies with the government. So the private sector will participate in building it.
Minister Budi Karya Sumadi further hoped that West Kalimantan would develop and become an extraordinary cultural center. Meanwhile, Chairman of the West Kalimantan Chinese Association President Rudy Halin appreciated the Indonesian government for recognizing the Chinese ethnic as one of ethnic in Indonesia by giving Chinese ethnic one-day holiday. According to Rudy, this proves that all Indonesian citizens, including the Chinese, have the same rights and obligations before the law. The Food and Drug Monitoring Agency has promoted online services for food and pharmaceutical product control in Jakarta's car-free day area on Sunday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, Penny Kusumastuti Lukito said while citing one feature on his online service that with the two-dimension barcode, people could actively take part in monitoring food and drug. The 2D barcode allows people to identify and authenticate certain products by scanning the barcode using their gadgets. The feature that can be downloaded in Play Store will help people check the legality of the product distribution license number. In addition to the barcode feature, the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency also provides a site for micro, small, and medium enterprises at the http://clearinghouse.pon.go.id, Istana UMKM.id. The site aims to establish collaboration synergy among ministries, institutions, and food industry. Penny added that through the site, the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency could provide more information about the products of Indonesian small and medium enterprises. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Papua Hughes figure Samuel Tabuni perceived the knock-in system applied in general election has been part of Indonesian democracy. The knock-in system is used to replace ballot boxes in general elections. It implements deliberation to make decisions in solving problems. It was remarked by Samuel Tabuni in Jayapura, Papua on Sunday, as reported by Antara News Agency. He said that the reason that the system cannot be applied properly is because the organizing committees, such as General Election Commission, KPU, and the Election Supervisory Board, Bawaslu, and the official below them do not have good understanding about the system. Some will affirm the education and supervision about the system needs to be provided because the knock-in system basically aims to achieve decision the same as democracy system applied in Indonesia. The Energy and Mineral Resource Ministry has installed 1,200 solar street lights in the district of Gresik, Lamongan, Tuban, and Bojonegoro, East Java Province. Head of the Special Task Force for Upstream Oil and Gas Business Activities, Dwi Sucipto, officially handed over the solar street lights in Gresik on Sunday. Dwi said the issues regarding infrastructure for the public had become the main concern of the government, so that the government installed the solar street lights in a bid to improve people's welfare. Lamongan district received 450 units of solar street light, while Tuban and Bojonegoro district obtained 300 units for each of them, and 150 others were distributed to Gresik. As reported by Antara News Agency, we said that the installation of solar street lights would be the solution for regions which have not obtained electricity from the state-owned electric company, PLN, and those who want to reduce electricity consumption. The last item, the government of Sukabumi City, West Java, keep improving their tourism potential. One of the ways is by integrating a new tourism object in Cigundul, Lebur Situ sub-district Sukabumi. The tourism object is known as Cigundul Hill, which is located nearby the Cigundul Agrodu or Agriculture Education Tourism Park. As reported by Antara News Agency, Mayor of Sukabumi, Ahmad Fahmi, on the sidelines of the inauguration of Cigundul Hill on Sunday, said that the location of the object offers the panorama of Sukabumi City above the hills. He also pointed out that tourism has become a feature sector in a number of countries. According to him, not all countries are gifted by abundant tourism objects, but Indonesia has great tourism potential in every of its region. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's topic is National Press Day. On February 9th, Indonesians commemorated the National Press Day, which took place in Surabaya, East Java. The date was set by a presidential decree in 1985 based on the results of the 28th Congress of the Indonesian Journalist Association, PWI, in Padang City, West Sumatra, in 1978. This was also inseparable from the willingness of the community to set a history day in a bid to commemorate the role and the existence of national press. The commemoration of National Press Day is not only a ceremony to give awards to individuals or institutions that are considered to be instrumental in a functioning press freedom. However, the commemoration is momentum to strengthen and improve the protection of media people and press freedom in Indonesia. The national press can develop and achieve success if it gets support. After long journey, finally press freedom began after the era of the New Order government began to collapse. Based on law number 14-1999 concerning the press began to develop its profession and realm as information activists based on the rules that apply to the press. In a written norms, the press get legal protection and freedom under the law. Unfortunately, the people of the Indonesian press do not really get full protection. According to the Alliance of Independent Journalists, AGI, the Indonesian press still faces a number of challenges. Cases of violence against journalists still occurred. Based on the AGI data, cases of violence reached 64 cases in 2018, up 60 cases from 2017. In addition, the Indonesian press still faces the challenges of professionalism. The level of public complaints against the press council regarding the performance of the media and the journalists is still high. In 2017, the number of cases was more than 400, while in 2016, complaints reached 721 cases. During 2018, the ranking of Indonesian press freedom in the world is actually still at the level 124th, below Timor Leste, even though it has been better than some ASEAN member countries. This shows that the Indonesian press still paid a serious attention. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History. Today in History starts for anyone on February 11, 1929, on Vatican independence. Vatican officially became a sovereign country after Lateran Agreement was signed by Vatican side and Kingdom of Italy. Vatican City-State is an enclave that is surrounded by wall in Rome City, Italy. In 1870, in the unification movement of Italy, Vatican was entered into Italian territory, but Rome Catholic Church did not receive. Consequently, conflict between Church and Kingdom of Italy occurred. Finally, the conflict could be solved by Lateran Agreement, or well known with the name Concordat. The agreement was signed on February 11, 1929 by Cardinal Gasparri, who represented Pius XI, and Benito Mussolini, who represented King Victor Emmanuel III. The next event is that in 1966, Formation Day of Japanese State was determined. State Formation Day is official national holiday in Japan that follows on February 11th. The holiday is to commemorate Emperor Chimu ascended the throne based on Nihon Soki and Kojiki notation. This was according to solar calendar happening on February 11, 60 before Christ. The day of formation was decided by revision of Bill of Japanese Holiday in 1966. And to be valid as official holiday on February 11, 1967. And the last event is that in 1990, Nelson Mandela was released from Victor Verster Jail at outside of Cape Town, South Africa. Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela is well known throughout the world as independence warrior through anti-apartheid event that made him president of South Africa. During the college, Mandela, along with black skin activists, conducted action to oppose white skin regime that did apprehend quality of skin color difference. Consequently, Nelson Mandela was sentenced to prison by South African court. Thus, an insistence of International World on February 11, 1990, Nelson Mandela was released after being jailed for 27 years. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Terakhir ku tatap mata indahmu di bawah bintang-bintang, terbelah hatiku antara cinta dan rahasia. Ku cinta padamu, namun kau milik sahabatku. Dilema hatiku, andai ku bisa berkata sejujurnya, jangan kau pilih dia, pilihlah aku yang mampu mencintamu lebih dari dia. Bukan ku ingin merebutmu dari sahabatku, namun kau tahu cinta tak bisa, tak bisa kau salahkan.
Oh, ku cinta padamu, namun kau milik sahabatku. Dilema hatiku, andai ku bisa berkata sejujurnya, jangan kau pilih dia, pilihlah aku yang mampu mencintamu lebih dari dia. Rebutmu dari sahabatku, namun kau tahu cinta tak bisa, tak bisa kau salahkan. Wow, cinta lebih dari dia. Bukan ku ingin merebutmu dari sahabatku, namun kau tahu cinta tak bisa, tak bisa kau salahkan. Wow, kau salahkan, tak bisa kau salahkan.
That was the first song entitled Cinta dan Rahasia, sung by Yura Yunita featuring Glenn Fredly. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And now we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Kemenristek Dikti, and the British government launched research cooperation in the field of disaster. The research in the field of hydrometeorology is worth around 31 billion rupiah. Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, said that his side held collaboration with the UK Department of Business, Energy and Strategy through the Newton Fund to fund the best research in the field of hydrometeorology or research on heavy rain and its impacts. Minister Muhammad Nasir, at the launch of the Indonesia-UK Disaster Research Cooperation through the Newton Fund program in Jakarta last Thursday, said that the three best researchers in the field of hydrometeorological disaster received 31 billion rupiah for research funding within 3 years. One Indonesian researcher will collaborate with a British researcher to conduct disaster research. The three researchers that will be funded are reducing the impact of hydrometeorological hazards through the management of cross-border rivers in the Chilewung River area. This research is aimed at improving the management of the Chilewung River body and public awareness of the threat of flooding. Second, Java Flood 1 is to improve medium-term flood predictions in several cities in Java, including Jakarta, Bandung, and Surakarta. Third, it is extreme rainfall and its effects on the risk of flooding in Indonesia, which is aimed at identifying the main causes of flooding in Indonesia and the main strategies that can mitigate disaster risk. Minister Muhammad Nasir further explained that in addition to the UK, the Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education and Indonesian researchers have also initiated collaborative research on earthquakes, tsunamis, smoke and other natural disasters with other countries such as Japan, the United States and France. Meanwhile, the British ambassador to Indonesia, Mozam Malik, hoped that through the cooperation scheme, Indonesian researchers and British researchers could produce research that has a major impact on flood management. Disasters of floods and landslides threaten not only the survival of the community, but also the economic development of Indonesia. The British and Indonesian scientists will cooperate to learn from each other so they can make a big change and inspire the next generation of young scientists. Ambassador Muazzam also conveyed that Britain is proud to be able to collaborate with Indonesia in developing research and innovation related to disaster. That was My Indonesia.
There was the second song entitled Karma, sung by Chocolate. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you to Jambia Weapon from West Sulawesi. Listener, Indonesia is rich of various kinds of cultures. The diversity is formed by a number of tribes that live in Indonesian territory and spread out on various islands. Every tribe has its own customs, language, arts, regional songs, traditional house, and including traditional clothes. Generally, every regional cloth is completed with traditional weapon, such as golok from Jakarta, kujang from West Java, Piso Surat from North Sumatra, and Rencong from Nanggro Aceh Darussalam, and many others. West Sulawesi province has various tribes such as Mandar, Patai, Panei, and Patinjo. Mandar tribe has traditional weapon called Jambia. In the past time, farmers used the weapon for hunting and killing forest animals which destroyed their plants. The weapon was also used to protect them when wandering. Jambia is a traditional weapon like batik. Its form is a little bit wide on the middle to of blade, and its tip is sharp. Jambia has two types, namely Jambia Baine for women and Jambia Muane for men. Comparing with batik from South Sulawesi, the characteristic of Jambia can be seen from cipik. Cipik itself is a sign on Jambia that is split in two ends, while bisak is a sign of dividing the two halves of back of batik and penetrates from top to bottom. In ancient belief, the two characteristics were considered good to be used for trade and farming because it was believed that it would bring a lot of fortune. Names of pots on Jambia are Pulu, or head of Jambia, that functions as holder. Oting is part of base that is planted into Pulu, Tondong, Sekde, and Uyung, or tip of Jambia, while its sarung or cover is called guma. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Thank you for listening.
Sembahkan kepada yang terindah. betapa cinta ini sungguh berarti. Tetaplah terjaga selama tinggal kasih telah pergi selama.
Listener, you have just listened to the third song entitled Bunga Terakhir, sung by Ahmad Dhani. For the next segments, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian. Mari berbahasa Indonesia. We will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. In this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Listener, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa, a lesson in the Indonesian language which introduces you to some vocabularies and guides you to use them in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency at the Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry. Today's topic entitled Jam Berapa, or in English, What Time Is It Now? Next is a conversation about jam berapa, or what time is it now? The conversation is between Tony and a taxi driver. Tony is taking taxi. He is talking to the taxi driver about his destination and time.
Pukul berapa sekarang, Pak?
Sekarang pukul 11 lebih 10.
Oh.
Tadi berangkat dari Jakarta.
Iya.
Pukul berapa Anda berangkat dari Jakarta?
Sekitar pukul 9.
After having listened to the conversation, I will introduce you to some expressions and vocabularies which are related to our topic today, entitled Pukul Berapa, which means what time is it now? I will say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Pukul berapa sekarang? Which means, what time is it now? Once again, pukul berapa sekarang? Which means, what time is it now? Pukul 11 lebih 10. Which means, it is 10 past 11. Once again, pukul 11 lebih 10. Which means, it is 10 past 11. Pukul 11 kurang 10. Which means, it is 10 to 11. Pukul 11 kurang 10. Which means, it is 10 to 11. Now let's continue with more expressions. Pukul 9. Which means, it's 9 o'clock. Pukul 9. Which means, it's 9 o'clock. Next, pukul 9 lebih 15 menit. Which means, it's a quarter past 9. Pukul 9 lebih 15 menit. Which means, it's a quarter past 9. Next, pukul 9 kurang 5 menit. Which means, it is 5 to 9. Pukul 9 kurang 5 menit. Which means, it is 5 to 9. Berangkat. Which means, leave from. I will repeat once more. Berangkat. Which means, leave from. Next, delapan, which means 8. Once again, delapan, which means 8. Next, tujuh, which means 7. I will repeat, tujuh, which means 7. The last one is 20, which means 20. Once again, 20, which means 20. Listener, to state time in Indonesian language, we can use the following expressions. For example, pukul 8, or it's 8 o'clock. I will repeat, pukul 8, or it's 8 o'clock. You can also say, sekarang pukul 7.20, or it is 7.20, or it is 40 minutes to 8. I will repeat, sekarang pukul 7.20, or it is 7.20 now, or it is 40 minutes to 8. You can also say pukul 7 lebih 20 menit other than pukul 7.20. I will repeat once more. You can also say pukul 7 lebih 20 menit other than pukul 7.20. Another expression is pukul 10.15. I will repeat, pukul 10.15. Or you can also say pukul 10 lebih 15 menit. I will repeat, pukul 10 lebih 15 menit, which means it's a quarter past 10. Listener, let's take a look at the following examples. pukul berapa sekarang? Which means, what time is it now? Pukul berapa sekarang? Which means, what time is it now? Sekarang pukul 11 lebih 10. Which means, it is 10 past 11. I will repeat. Sekarang pukul 11 lebih 10. Or, it is 10 past 11. Next, 8:55 or 5 to 9 will be read as pukul 9 kurang 5 instead of pukul 8:55. So listener, when you want to say 8:55 or 5 to 9, it will be better to say pukul 9 kurang 5. Next, pukul 7 kurang 10 menit. Once again, pukul 7 kurang 10 menit, which means it is 10 to 7. Pukul 10:45, which means it is 10:45. I will repeat. Pukul 10:45, which means it is 10:45. You can also say pukul 11 kurang 15 menit, which means it is a quarter to 11. I will repeat. You can also say pukul 11 kurang 15 menit, which means it is a quarter to 11. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa segment, for more details, let's listen to the conversation one more time.
Pukul berapa sekarang, Pak?
Sekarang pukul 11 lebih 10.
Oh.
Tadi berangkat dari Jakarta.
Iya.
Pukul berapa Anda berangkat dari Jakarta?
Sekitar pukul 9.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Selalu mencoba untuk menguatkan hati dari kamu yang belum juga kembali. Ada satu keyakinan yang membuat ku bertahan, penantian ini kan terbayar pasti. Lihat aku sayang yang sudah berjuang menunggumu datang menjemputmu pulang. Ingat selalu sayang, hatiku kau genggam. Aku takkan pergi menunggu kamu di sini. Tetap di sini. Jika
bukan kepadamu. Aku tidak tahu lagi pada siapa rindu ini kan ku beri. Pada siapa rindu ini kan ku beri. Lihat aku sayang yang sudah berjuang menunggumu datang menjemputmu pulang. Ingat selalu sayang hatiku kau genggam. Aku takkan pergi menunggu. Lihat aku sayang sudah berjuang menunggumu datang menjemputmu pulang. Ingat selalu sayang hatiku kau genggam. Aku takkan pergi.
That was Menunggu Kamu, sung by Angie. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Listener, a Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, welcome back with me in Music Corner. Today we will present you a keroncong song entitled Pahlawan Merdeka. This song, created by Panji Kamal, tells about heroes who fought and passed away for the independence of the nation and homeland. This song is a tribute to the sacrifices of the heroes. Even though they have passed away, their names are recorded as warriors. This song was sung with solemn by Karizal Kaidir, who has a strong vocal character. Well, listener, here is Pahlawan Merdeka by Khairizal Kaidir. Oh,
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz, on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter, @voiindonesia. And also send your email to voi@voinews.id.